Well, I gotta say, man, I played with Pontevi for years and won their Gala Shield 3 or 4 times, and you know, boys have done worse things than that sort of stuff.
Alcohol and young men.
Kind of terrible, man.
Makes us all different creatures.
Oh, yeah, man.
Yeah, anyway, Peter, how are you, Whistle?
Good, man.
Thank you so much for coming in, man.
Nah, thank you so much for having me, man.
My daughter's involved in some of the programs that you have running, and
she's good.
And I hear from some of my other mates and stuff, that all the awesome stuff you're doing in our community. Yeah. So I said, man, I've got to talk to this guy. they say you can't, you know, you change your country by starting local, eh? You start local and then you go from there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also, you're especially with the youth, right?
Yeah,
that's your specialty, is working with our youth. How did you get involved in all those sort of
stuff? Oh, it's just, I mean, my background, me and my wife, we worked at the criminal justice courts over in the city, and that's always been our background, just helping out the youth. And I mean, I was in the criminal court, and my wife was in the, she was more in the high court justice kind of system, and our role was always supporting the prosecutors and the judges and the lawyers around, you know, making sure they get all the information. So there was that was our background, and just seeing youth and families, especially Pacific Islanders, Maori Pacific Islanders, coming through the system.
Yeah.
It just got to that point where we decided, like, man, we got to do more than this. What are we doing? I'm sure I can do something better than this, me and my wife. And then from there, we just had the courage. It was time for us just to leave work.
Wow.
And start something in the community. And that's how this come around.
So, you left your job and said, I'm going to go and do this.
Yeah,
wow. That's a leap of faith, yeah?
Yeah, absolutely. So me and my wife was a vision from God that planted in my wife and said that, man, God is speaking to us in faith that we just got to get up there and do something in the youth. And at that time, it was just like, well, you know, how are we supposed to pay our bills and all that sort of stuff? And
that's it, eh?
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, from then on, it was just been go, 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 and definitely enjoy the whole journey with it and the process with it. It's been awesome.
It's like a snowball, eh?
Yeah.
You just got to start it and then they'll come and
absolutely
support you. You've got a Word Up, is that outreach community?
Yeah, it's a Word Up outreach community. It's like a little fellowship with just people who want to know the Word a little bit more and get in connected with their spiritual side. And and through that, it encourages and empowers people to find what's their gifts and their talents to give back into the community. And that's what that space is all about. And we do it through creative arts, through music, through spoken word, over a coffee and all that sort of stuff, which is the best
definitely
safe space you can make it happen. And that's what it is. And you want people to feel, this is a space I want to be, this is a space I can be open, this is a space I can be safe and share my heart as well. And that's what it is. So.
Yeah. The Word Up outreach, is that for what? Is that just for teenagers? And
well, it's for anybody, to be honest, teenagers or adults.
Yeah.
Like I said, like, everybody has a gift, they have a talent that they can, you know, reach up to other people and by sharing that. You know, some are good at sports, and that's another way of just building that connection with people and bringing them to a place where they'd be encouraged and be empowered to, you know, to do what they believe they need to do in this world.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, our community at the moment, especially the one we live in at the moment, which is Mount Ross School.
Yeah.
Mount Albert, Sandringham, and Wesley.
Yeah,
it's, you know, the kids at the moment seem a little bit, you know, unoccupied and
yeah,
a little bit mischievous. Eh?
Yeah,
you
know? Absolutely. Yeah.
So when you start running programs like that, then you give the kids a space to come and release that energy that they have.
Yeah,
and all kids have it. Eh?
Oh yeah,
and,
absolutely. You know, yeah,
in a positive way.
Yeah, absolutely.
That must be rewarding and satisfying to see, especially because it's such a new sort of thing that you've started, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, youth media has been around for years and years, and I think it's just the way you approach it. It's the way how you represent yourself in front of the youth.
Yeah.
We usually have this whole thing about just come as you are and just don't try to be something else. Just get to know the child, the kid, or anybody that's building a relationship and connection with them.
Yeah.
Because everybody, we have something in common with them. You know, we ran it back when I was a kid, I was probably in the same shoe as he was.
Yeah,
and
sure.
It's just trying to find that common thing that we can connect.
Yeah.
And usually it's food.
Yeah,
it's usually it's you know, games and sports. And, and from then on, you just make that connection with them.
So how did you get funding, or
yeah,
was it hard to do? to start stuff up like this, because this is your vision, right?
Yeah,
your wife's vision.
Yeah.
And no better person to have backing you up than your wife, right?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, man. 100%, man. She's the CEO, man. She's the boss, man. So
that's
everything
awesome.
Everything goes back to her. But yeah, at first it was really hard. It was tough, the fact that we gave up our full-time job, because we found in our hearts it was something that God has called us to do. And just having that faith, you know, it took us a while to get some funding in that, and we had wonderful people who surrounded us to help us in getting that funding through council and through school, which helped us to get us started and get us going.
Wow.
And you know, fast forward to now, you know, we still got those connection and those relationship with those people, which is really awesome.
That's fantastic.
Eh? Yeah.
It's good to know that, especially after the last 2 or 3 years that we've had, that there is some proper support out there for people that want to do good things in our community, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Where do you see this going? What do you have a long-term plan on?
Our biggest vision is to build a centre that has everything you need to help and support our youth and families.
Yeah.
At the moment, you got community centres, which is cool, but it doesn't really serve our community, if that makes any sense. You know, you want a proper space where youth can have play basketball, a full court basketball, you know, an inside field. They can play tag or rugby, either it's raining or whatever. They can and place where they can record, place they can be creative and all that sort of stuff. And we just don't have that sort of space. I mean, we do, but it's all trips and drabs of everywhere. And if there is, it's just too small. You can only book it for a few hours, and it is tough. And you know, just talking and researching with a lot of youth, that's a space they want.
It's a youth
city where they can open space, where it's safe, where they can just be themselves, at the same time be encouraged. So that's our goal, is to have these youth city centres to be placed in different areas of Auckland, New Zealand.
You're a bit younger than me, but when I was younger, we had a place called Boys Town.
Yes.
Which was down in the city there.
Yeah.
And that was like a safe space where we could go down and...
Yeah.
Mainly it was basketball and stuff down there.
Absolutely.
That's the sort of vision that
That's the sort of vision that we're looking at. And then you're looking at the development that we're having now, that all these places are all starting to become more apartments rather than single homes.
Oh, I know.
The biggest scary thing, or well, the most scary thing for us is that, you know, we don't want those things to turn into projects and
spark
up little gangs in those areas. And that's why we really want to push these little youth cities within the community, because a lot of them don't come out because of just not safe, or they're just comfortable to be where they are. But if you build something that's like right behind their backyard, that's more safe for them and it's closer to them as well.
You're right, eh? Because you can see some of the results that happen, like in America, for example. We say that you call them projects or ghettos, eh? Where the people that live in them have their lives are pretty miserable, right?
They don't
have a lot of stuff to do or things to do. I mean,
kids
nowadays also are stuck to their machines and tablets and things like that, right?
Massive, so, man.
One of the bigger challenges for you, I would think, would be to try and pull them away from that and show them there is other things to do out there, right?
Absolutely. And that's the biggest challenge that we have as a youth workers and community workers, is the fact that we are, you know, it's us versus technology now.
And
that's pretty much what's teaching our youth these days. And
babysitting.
It's just crazy, man. Yeah. And I totally understand, you know, that's the first thing you jump to for a parent to keep the kids peaceful, is that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
But it's trying to educate our parents the importance of getting their kids up there and having fun up there in the backyard.
Also the social interaction with other kids, right?
Yeah.
It's becoming I could see it becoming a real sort of thing, right?
Oh, yeah.
Because they're so connected to their devices.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're interacting with their friends on their devices.
Yeah, absolutely.
So when they see them, they're like, oh, who are you?
It's just the antisocial the vibe that's going on around now with a lot of youth. And I think that's caused a lot of low confidence within our kids to interact with people, is because of they lock themselves in rooms because they don't want to come out, because they're more comfortable in that area.
Yeah.
And that's something that a lot of parents are struggling with, is trying to keep their kids out there.
That's right.
So if you're like a rich family that's got, I mean, you can pay to go them to different top programs, but if you're one of those families who are struggling, you got no other option but just, well, that's the only thing that we can come up with, just giving them that gadget.
So your outreach program would be free for children to come?
Come along and get registered and be part of, you know, a brotherhood and sisterhood program, which has got to do with able to help them to make the right decision as youth and become leaders in the future, and also help them to interact with other youths as well in a safe space. So that's what brotherhood and sisterhood. We've got the GYL, which is the Global Youth Legacy, which is
that's your thing as well.
Our thing as well, which Letty's part of, which is awesome, and that's a like more for high school year 12, year 13s, where they start to come up with ideas on how they can actually come up with events and projects that will, you know, activate kids to come along and be together and work together. Yeah. It will bring awareness or whatever that needs to be spoken about or find solution around, which is really good. And we've got the GSA program, which is the Global Sports Academy, which is helping out with those youth that they've got potential and then giving them the right training feedback, the right just whatever they need to become better athlete at what they do. And mentoring as well, because we believe that, you know, off the field stuff is way more important than what happens on the field.
Sure, for sure. Yeah. That's so true, eh? So true. I saw that you had a tag tournament last week.
That's
the first one you put together?
Yeah, well, that's the first one for high school during the school holiday program. And that was, that was through GYL as well. And also connecting alongside with other wonderful organisations like the North Island Sports.
Yep.
And also
That's Alex
Matapu and Dusty and their crew over there, which is really cool.
And Lucia.
She's tagged, New Zealand tag, Samoa, New Zealand. Which is really cool. So they came along, which is really awesome.
Was it a good day?
Yeah, it was a good day.
Yeah.
It was so funny because the whole week was raining.
And
obviously you always have doubts of the weather, like, oh, shucks, it's going to be a
good
day.
Weather,
man. And then obviously Thursday was the good day of all of them, and really good day. Because high school's on break, there's nothing else they're doing. And unless you're playing first 15 or first 11 or those top teams in your school, obviously you're probably doing some training in between, but the rest of them have probably got nothing else to do.
But
we thought maybe it's a good chance for us to start something up for high schools while they're on a break, and
great initiative, man.
Yeah, it's good.
The more words you can get out there, the more popular it will become, man.
Yeah, absolutely. So,
how are you finding the kids in our community? How are they? I mean, they good kids.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah,
good kids, man. Like really good heart.
Yeah.
Good intentions, and it's just sometimes they're not they come from really tough backgrounds and whatever that is.
Yeah.
That's what they come with, man. But I definitely know that, you know, everyone wasn't born to be bad, if that makes any sense. It's just the way of life, and that's why you have people like us to come around them and support them and help them and undo a few things and encourage them to do the right thing.
Because we could have, myself and you could have gone a bit wayward back
then,
right? It's quite easy to follow the wrong path or hang out with the wrong people, right?
Absolutely, man.
So having something like that in our community, as you say, is quite essential. And just getting the word out there that it's available and what it actually is, the more that the people know, the better for us.
Yeah, well, that's it, man.
Yeah.
That's what it is. So, we're blessed to be in this community, and such a diverse community as well.
Very diverse.
And it's it's not used. It's really weird when you see a Samoan Somalian mixture or Tongan and Greek mixture. You don't really see that around, but you see it in here in Mount Ruskell, which is really cool. Some of our Pacific Islander, Māori Pacific Islander, they know the culture of other countries like Muslims, and it's amazing. Like, they know how to respect it. They know how to, understand what's happening in the space when they're in that space. If we're in a space, they'll tell us, "Oh, you're not supposed to greet a Muslim sister by embracing them,
hug
or anything." Just things like that. You're like, "Oh, shucks, okay." Thanks for reminding me.
Good to know.
Yeah, it's good to know. Absolutely. So just things like that.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're in Mount Ruskell and you grew up in this community, I just believe that they're way advanced in understanding of the diverse culture that we are in today.
Which is great.
Yeah, which is powerful, man.
There was a few issues a few years back with the Muslim and the Pacific
community.
Were you involved in any of that?
No, I wasn't.
Was around St. Dave and around that sort of area, right?
That was, But again, the community knows how to iron those things out. You know, they knew how to come together. And at that time, we had very key Pacific leaders who kind of came around and made sure that that wasn't going to get any worse than what it was. So
could have escalated.
It could have got real bad. Could have got really bad. So, you know, thank God for our community leaders back in those days, you know.
Fixing it up.
Nick Tutusi and all those guys, Vasaki and Michael Jones as well.
Were they all part of that?
They're all part of that mixture.
Nick Tutusi as well? Speaking of Nick Toilie.
Now,
were you a Ross Hall boy?
No, I was originally from out west.
Oh, really?
Went to Avondale College, and so west was my was where I grew up.
Right.
And then came in here and found the beautiful woman and fell in love and got married and got stuck in the hood.
God bless you, mate.
Well,
that's why you're a Roscoe boy.
That's why I'm a Roscoe boy now.
Oh, okay, right.
And it's funny because I used to play for Roscoe District before I went to Ponsonby.
Did you?
That was like my first kind of club outside from school. Came straight to Roscoe District.
How many years ago was that? Because
that would have been 99, 2000.
Oh, okay. Because they haven't been functioning for a wee while, right?
Roscoe District. No. So, obviously, Nick Tolley's sparked up the Pukitapapa Roscoe Club.
That's awesome, eh?
Yeah.
And you're involved in that as well?
Yeah, yeah.
You're with the under-21s?
I'm off the under-21s.
And you got banned from the sidelines for that?
Yes, I did.
It's passion. It's a misunderstanding.
Exactly. I was just trying my best to just have some fairness in our game, man. We're getting punished, but the ref is giving us a good go, so...
Yeah.
I thought I had to say something. Probably not the best thing to say, but my wife was happy. They had a 4-week ban and she was stoked.
Yeah, I bet you would be, about the stuff that you're up to.
Yeah.
But it is tough, eh? I mean, it's tough being a ref.
Yeah.
It's tough being a coach because you're giving up all your time.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's tough being a ref because you're in the middle of the fire.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Every week when I go watch my son play, I see the refs out there and surely you've got something else better to do. I love you, mate. Thank you very much. But my God, God bless you, bro. I understand it from a coach's perspective.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because you're going down there and you're putting your heart into these people that you're trying to train. And all you want is a perceived fair go on the field,
absolutely.
Right?
I mean, that's the hardest thing is, like, you know, when you say something, when you do not say something, but when it's happening all the time, you're like, okay, someone has to say something.
But
malice to it. Was just trying to get some sort of understanding.
Don't want it to wreck your game. You're still passionate about, because you have a long finished playing.
No. 2021, I stopped playing.
Eden Gallagher Shield.
How about that? It was awesome. Love that journey with Eden and wonderful club.
Who did you guys play in the final?
We played Grammar Tech.
Was it Grammar Tech?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Grammar Tech is the team that we played in. Really good.
How long had you played for Eden for?
So I went there in 2015.
Yeah.
So I stopped playing rugby for a bit and just thought, you know, just focus on the family and what we're doing in the community.
Yeah.
And then we had a lot of youth that wanted to play rugby. And I thought I might go back to Ponsonby, but then I realised it was a bit of a far away and didn't have the transport. And I thought, we'll just get down to Eden. And then that's where we ended up down there.
How long did you play Ponsonby for?
So I was Ponsonby 2001, 2002, and then had a gap from 2003. Went there 2004. So my last year would have been 2007.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
you've been playing your whole life.
Man. Yeah, yeah.
How's the body?
It was good at the time. Started to feel the pain in the necks, but
what position were you playing?
So I was playing prop hooker.
Oh, prop hooker.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. You're in amongst the action there too, mate.
Yeah, man.
Hey,
it was full on.
Yeah.
Full on scrumming, and it's funny because every year they, for some reason, they keep changing the rules and the way you bind, the way you grip, the engagement, all that sort of stuff.
They're trying to make it safer.
Yeah, player, absolutely. Right? Which is really good.
Yeah.
Which is really good. Like if you look at it the way it is now, it's way more safer than just engaging just straight in there.
Yeah, I was watching some of the old Ranfurly Shield games from the 80s. And the way they used to come in, it's like, dude, how not many of you got seriously injured? It's amazing.
Absolutely, man.
You just go in full force. Even when they, you know, when they come into the malls,
yeah,
oh, just run all over you for those bricks. It's like,
I just look at them like, there's no, excuse me, sir. They just completely walk all over you to clear out this prison, which
different,
is crazy.
Different but, time yeah, in Europe, back then.
Different time, man.
Did you miss playing? Is that sort of why you're coaching now? Or?
Yeah, I kind of miss playing as well, and it just felt like I wanted to go in and help another community leader, Nick Torley, when he came up the idea of starting Mount Ross School rugby club for the seniors. And
Ramsey's involved in that too, right?
Yeah, so Ramsey was involved in when they were still with suburbs, because back then they were under Mount Ross School District, but Ross School District, their senior club was suburbs.
Oh, okay.
So Ramsey came through that pathway, because obviously suburbs is his home club, yeah. So, but when they make that cut, it was just straight to Nick and the rest of the team.
What do you see happening with the club? Are you going to expand it more? Are you going to stay around and still help Nick?
Or? Yeah, absolutely. I'm just going to stay there and help Nick and serve the vision that he's got for the rugby club. And and obviously, you know, this year we've had women's and our 21s and Prem D, which is really cool.
That's awesome.
So next year we're looking to have our first Premier team.
Oh, okay.
And that's something that Nick is always pushing for.
How do you recruit for that? What do you do?
I think it's just more just through word of mouth, I guess. Yeah. And it all depends on how much people enjoy the culture with the club.
Yeah.
And I mean, if everybody enjoys it, obviously they'll just invite their friends and people just invite other people as well. I mean, this year we had some of the boys from Manukau Rovers who came over.
Oh.
Really, really good. Really good guys. Romani and John Bull and all of them all came through, and Hobson and all that all came through with their boys as well, which is really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Really cool. Yeah.
So that's sometimes the key, eh? If you can get one player and bring their mates, then
you
start a basis of a team.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's how you drawing good players, is bringing other brothers who have been there, done that. Bringing their experience and bringing the people they've kind of mentored and looked after as well.
Yeah.
It's really good.
It is a tough comp though, the prem comp. Sometimes I watch poor old Waitakere, who are still rebuilding, and man, I take my hat off to those boys because they get pummeled every week.
Oh, but they still turn up. That's what I mean. I give it to those guys, man. Yeah.
God bless them, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, good on you for trying to keep that going. And, I think if they keep going, then
absolutely
it will turn the corner, like they would in most clubs.
Absolutely, man. You know, I remember 2005, Waitake was up there in the finals with us, Ponsonby. Officer Tanu'u and the boys were there. And,
They had a good recruiting.
They had a good.
I know my brother-in-law Stephen was playing for them as well. Came up and had a few runs.
Yeah.
I think he was playing alongside Tool.
Yep.
And Wainga.
Yeah.
I mean, far up.
Good players, man. Yeah. We just lost. Oh, we just won.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, we just won. I think they missed a penalty kick.
Yeah.
And that would have won the game for them.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, bummer, man.
Hello.
Jeepers. Well, good for you.
Yeah, it was good for. We're happy because obviously. Officer sub one of their props who was the main kicker. He was the guy that was just booting that from left, right and centre, and it was getting over.
Yeah.
And then came to that penalty kick, and Officer subbed off that prop.
Oh no.
And we were like, yes.
Officer's always sponsored me.
Yeah. And we won the gala show with Officer the year before he went over to 2004.
Oh,
in 2005 he went over to Waite.
Oh wow.
Yeah. So it can happen again.
Yeah, you know, for sure.
You know what I mean? Yeah.
Just to rebuild. Rugby at the moment, though, is struggling a wee bit with numbers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it's hard to recruit
good
players, and
you
sort of got to start them young and then bring them through the club.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would the club be looking to start in the under 10s or something like that as well?
Yeah, well, that's something that we've had in conversation. I mean, the Rossville District, they've got a junior club, which is run by Luke Gates, and he's doing a real good job as well. And so that's something that that Nick has always wanted, the junior club, but I think he's holding it back because obviously Luke Gates there's something there going on as well. At least they can sit down and have that conversation how they can partner up. But
did you know Brian Namata?
Yes.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
Rest his soul. That.
Yeah.
He was a good friend of mine.
Oh, wow.
He used to do that sort of stuff as
well. Wow, yeah. Good.
And he used to work up at the church up on Mount Albert Road.
Mount Albert Road, yeah.
I took some photos of the stuff he was doing up there.
Yeah, he was the man.
He was the man.
He was the man.
Yeah, yeah.
massive respect for him, man.
Yeah, all over the place too, yeah, really. The really respect for that young fella.
Awesome, man.
It was a huge loss to our community because of what he yep was doing.
Yeah, right? Massive. And some of the stuff he did, I kind of like spoke to him and had a good chat with him just around how do you approach certain things, and right, gave me some good tips on it, man.
He'd been in that for quite a long time, man. So he knew not the tricks of the trade, but he knew how to the trigger points and how to get people to listening.
Massive, man.
Yeah.
So I take my hat off to him, man. Yeah, good man.
He was a good man. He was a very good man. Yeah. I grew up with him because I went to Edendale school, and he was Edendale as well.
Yeah.
And then we met back up in the early 90s, and he taught me how to play the guitar.
Wow.
He was also doing in those days, like an MMA thing.
Yeah.
So we used to go to the park. He'd give me some guitar lessons, and then he would try and practice his roundhouse kick just to see how big. And we're at Cornwall Park.
Yeah.
You know, because he was a big fan.
And
he goes, just stand still, play. I was just going to try my roundhouse kick. Next thing I know, I was on the ground. I'm like, what happened? He goes, oh, sorry, man, I got too close. Knocked me clean out. I think we just stick to the guitar.
Yeah.
Because so, I can't remember much. But God rest his soul, man. Yeah, I was so sad when he passed away.
Yeah.
I went to see him, but it was just so packed. There was so many people there in respect for him. So I couldn't actually say my goodbyes.
Yeah.
But he was a good man. And
no, awesome, man.
You're kind of carrying on the tradition there.
Yeah, absolutely. Sort of, those are the guys that, you know, their legacy that we just carry on with, man. Yeah. And there's a lot of people out there who are doing the same mahi as well, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah. There would be, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
Man. My man.
But what do you see? What's coming up in the future there?
We've got
much stuff on the books. So you said you just opened a bike?
Yeah, we just... So Bike Kitchen was something that Richard Butter and myself and a few other people who've supported to get it going. And today was the first time they've... So I think council's jumped on board as well. So we've kind of changed that to Bike Hub now, So every other community, they've got bike hubs, and now we've got one over here in Mount Roskill, just down here at Roskill U Zone.
What does that mean?
So that means that, you know, anyone that needs their bikes to get it fixed, just whatever, even supporting people that don't know how to ride bikes, this is the space to come along, and there's different bike tours that are happening as well. So
is it going to be permanently based down there, is it?
Yeah, so it'll be there.
Because I remember some Saturdays they would have a bike thing down there, right?
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Yeah. So that's what that is.
Yeah, but it's permanently there.
It's permanently there. So cool. There's a container there. They've done it all up, which is really awesome, man.
Yeah.
Really flash. So yeah. So big up to Richard Butler and the team for opening that up. So we're really excited.
That's your home base, is the Wesley Community Centre?
Yeah. So we run all our youth programs over at Roskill U Zone at Wesley Community Centre. So all our programs are run through there.
Also, when there was the flooding and stuff, you were based at Wesley Primary, right?
Yeah. So yeah, that was. That was a tough time for our community too.
Especially down in that area. Centre got hurt.
Man, really got hurt pretty bad. O'Donnell Ave, and just even around Mount Roskill, there's certain other, you know, Roskill South, over the Somerset area as well. Yeah. They're all down lower than us. And so a lot of families. So, you know, big ups to Lou Reddy and the Wesley Primary School. They were the first ones to respond to our call, and we said, look, there's a lot of kids open the school. And
that was your initiative?
Yeah.
Open it up.
So people. And Lou was onto it anyway. He was really thinking the same thing, and we just both just worked on it. And then along came Ark and the team, and we all just worked together to help our community.
I think Amita came down?
Yeah, Amita came down. She was I call her Guns N' Roses.
She's Guns N' Roses.
And yeah.
She
was a tough lady, man. Yeah, so she was good, and the reason why we liked her because she's straight up. Man.
She got things done, right?
Oh yeah, she did. So we kind of placed her at Roskill U Zone, and she kind of looked after all the, just the furnitures and clothing.
Was that donated stuff?
Yeah, so all donated stuff, and honestly, the community and the people was just they were fantastic, man.
How rewarding is that for you?
Man, real rewarding.
Yeah. It must be, bro.
Yeah, you know? just seeing the aroha from everybody.
Yeah.
Just knowing that our country really needs the support, and they just all came through, man.
Yeah.
You know, just giving and donating was amazing.
That's the beautiful part of our human spirit, eh? And that's what's so important about communities, bro.
Yeah.
You know, if nobody turned up, you'd think, well, there's something.
Yeah.
Our community is sick.
Yeah, absolutely.
The community's unwell.
Yeah.
But to see it like that, you know there's hope.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's hope in our communities and our people.
Oh.
When stuff like that, when people come to help other people.
Oh, 100%, man.
And to be at the head of that, you know, along with other people, must have been so rewarding. And
yeah. It was tough. It was tough in a way, but just seeing people come through and also seeing people being housed and being looked after was rewarding ourselves, because that's the whole purpose of it, was just to look after those who were in need.
Yeah.
And the hardest thing was that, you know, the people being whakamā or shy.
Yeah.
You know, our specific island Māoris, we never want to show our weaknesses or anything like that, too proud.
Yeah.
And you know, there were people like, and I'll give it up to them, because not only they had to deal with that, but they had to swallow it and just say, my family needs help.
Yeah.
You know, and seeing PI men just come through was like, oof.
Yeah.
You gotta give it to them.
That's awesome. So it's cool that you can put all that sort of stuff together. Because it was such a strange, it's been such a strange time here now.
Yeah.
In our world, really.
Yeah. We don't know what's going on, man. Like, something just happened. Like, so dumb. Well, we didn't plan that.
Raining all the time.
Yeah, I know.
Strange things happening. I was like,
what's
happening here? So it's great to hear that somebody like yourself can bring everybody together and help the people out. That differentiates us between us and other creatures, right? As our empathy
and
you know, helping people out.
100%. I mean, the people that, you know, guys like Lou Reedy and Fiona Lai and, you know, Zena, just these wonderful leaders, Rachel from Wheeze Intermediate, you know, Billy from just up on Christ the King, they were on board. Miss Stewart from May Road Primary School, just these community leaders understood, you know, Steph from Oasis, Roscoe South, man. Yeah. Just the heart of Nick Tawley and the Puketapa Rugby Club opening up their club again as well. Yeah. Like, unreal, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Just,
what were those leaders? I mean, because you're specialising or you're trying to help the youth. I mean, you've got all these contacts already, right? Mm. Wesley Intermediate, Wesley Primary, Road School, Christ the King.
Yeah.
So, that's a good base for you to grow your own vision, right?
Yeah, yeah.
With these kids here, and you know the people that... Yeah. And they know and can trust you that you are going to look after these kids, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's just reputation, I guess.
The networking, reputation.
Which is, and the trust then.
Yeah.
And knowing that, you know, they can trust this coconut guy just from around the road. Who's this guy? Right. Just having a heart for the community. So, you know, it's one thing to be a leader, but also be open to, you know, to have that help to come in and help their kids. It's just something different, man. And that's why I take my hat off to those people, those school leaders, principals of our community.
You also have a church or a faith-based gathering as well.
Yeah, so that's the Word Up. That's the Word Up.
That's the Word Up.
Yeah, okay, that's the Word Up. So that's where we, you know, we don't force people to come. We just say, there's a space there. If you, you know, if you feel like in your heart that you want to get some, you know, encouragement or empowerment, I mean, that's a space for you to come through.
I saw you baptizing some.
Yes.
Some of your.
Yeah. It was really cool. It was such a real blessing, a rewarding, just seeing these people just, you know, want to take their faith into another step, and that was getting baptized. And some of them were our families and friends from the community that we've known for a very long time. Just see them getting baptized was a real treat.
Another beautiful thing, huh?
Yeah, man.
Your soul must be full, mate.
Yeah.
Your soul and your heart, all this good stuff you're doing, man.
Yeah.
And you're the pastor in that?
Yeah, so I'm
and
a pastor.
And you and your wife?
Me and my wife are pastors, the leaders of the Red Ops. So, it's really cool.
Yeah.
Real good.
Awesome, bro. That's fantastic.
No, no.
Also, I don't want to hold you up any too much longer, but like I say, I've enjoyed tonight, man. It's been really awesome hearing what you're doing in our community. It gives me hope.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when you turn the TV on or put on your phones or whatever, all you see is misery and disasters.
Yeah.
And you feel a bit hopeless and helpless, eh? But to know that there's people out there in our communities like you that are serving our people and are sacrificing a lot to actually do it, bro. Yeah. Doing up your full-time jobs to... Yeah. follow your passion of, you know, trying to guide and look after our kids is it's a beautiful thing, bro.
Yeah,
so amazing. I really admire you, bro, and really respect you. And I hope God blesses you with your vision. I'm sure it's going to come, man. I'm sure it's going to come. But anything in closing, also, where can people find you, man?
We've got a space at 24 Potters Ave. You can check us up on Global Hope Mission on our website, and just message us through there and come and visit us. Sometimes we don't ask for you, Zane, so we're down there.
How often do you have those events? And other where do you find out when they're happening? Is that all on that Facebook page?
Yeah, it's all on that Facebook page. And
put a link down.
Put a link down and come through. You know, we're doing food boxes and that for our families as well. If they need any food, come and see us.
Are you doing that as well?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. Wow. So it's part of that as well. So I mean, we've got good volunteers, people who jumped on board and help us, which is, I mean, that's what keeps us going is the volunteers. So it's really cool.
And if anybody wants to help you or get involved, they can just come down and see you guys down there when you're there.
Yeah, man. The more hands, the better, man.
Yeah. That sounds awesome, also. Hey, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it, man. Love your work, man.
I love your work too. Also, you make me feel useless. That's why I always sign off all of knowing. Follow you.